I am Joseph, chapter 24, Genesis 43, 44, and 45. With pounding hearts, the sons of Jacob travel for the second time towards Egypt. Behold, they again stand before Joseph and bow low before him. Joseph thinks about the wonderful dreams which he had had in his youthful days. How everything comes out exactly as he had dreamed. He immediately sees that Benjamin is also with them, and he gives orders that they should be brought to his house. Seeing that Joseph spoke the Egyptian language, his brothers did not know what he said. This made them fear that they would all be taken prisoners. "Sir, oh sir," they say to the man who is taking them, "sir, you probably thought that we stole the money the first time we were here, but that is not really so. We do not know who put the money in our sacks. Therefore, we have brought double the amount of money with us. By that you can see that we are honest." But this man answered them very friendly and said, "You needn't be afraid. I know that you did not steal the money the first time. You can go into this house." A short time later, the 10 brothers are sitting silently in one of the rooms in the palace of the viceroy. Suddenly the door opens and Simeon enters. How happy they are! Simeon asks how everything is at home with his father, his wife, and children. His brothers tell him, and then he must tell them how he made out during the time that he was in prison. Before they realized it, the morning was past. Joseph comes home at noon. He is very friendly towards them, especially towards Benjamin. There is such a great difference between now and the time before. He asks them if their father is still alive and if he is still in good health. In the meantime, the table is set. The brothers can eat with this mighty governor in his palace. This is a great honor. When everything is ready, they are told where to sit. Reuben, who is the oldest, is placed first. Simeon, who is the second, is next. Then Levi, after him Judah, and so on. Exactly according to their age, they are seated next to each other. They look at each other in astonishment. How does this governor know their ages? Did that happen accidentally, or... They cannot give an answer to these questions. Joseph takes the food and gives each his portion. That food tastes so delicious. Yet Joseph makes a distinction. Benjamin receives 5 times as much as the rest. Why does Joseph do that? Well, Joseph wanted to see if his brothers were still the same as they were many years ago. When he had received a beautiful coat from his father, his brothers had been jealous and angry. Therefore, Joseph purposely gives Benjamin much more than the others. Would they get angry now? Would they also hate Benjamin now? No, happily not. They see it, but they neither envy him, nor are they angry. After the meal is over, they prepare to go home. Joseph gives orders to fill their sacks, and the following morning all 11 brothers return, glad and cheerful, to Canaan and to their old father. They surely are glad that Simeon is also with them. Cheerfully they talk together and hasten homeward. But all at once they hear someone calling. When they turn around, they see a man, probably upon a horse, coming towards them. He motions to them to stand still. This stranger soon comes up to them and jumps from his horse. "You are such ungrateful people," sounds his harsh voice. They stare at him in astonishment and do not understand him, for they ask, "Why do you say that, sir?" "You know that best yourself," he snaps out. "You are thieves." "We?" They cannot understand a thing of it. "Yes, you," he says again. "My master has been so kind to you, and now you have stolen his cup out of which he always drinks. That is very mean of you." Indignantly, they shake their heads. "That is not true," they say. "That is a lie. We even brought the money along from the time before. Here, search everywhere, and with whom it is found, let him die. Besides, let every one of us remain in Egypt as slaves." They say this because they are so sure that they are innocent. "Good," the Egyptian decides. "The one with whom I find the cup shall be the slave of my master. Of course, the others may go free." Everyone opens his sack. The Egyptian begins with the oldest and inspects every sack thoroughly, but he finds it nowhere. The brothers look at each other and they begin to think, "Do you see? We are guiltless. They have made a mistake." At last there is but one more sack, which is Benjamin's. The others close their sacks again. Suddenly a cry is heard. They all look up and turn pale. Triumphantly the messenger holds up his hand, and in that hand he holds the missing cup. They stare at it in horror. They look at Benjamin, their youngest brother, with anxious eyes. But he is just as amazed as they. In silence, they load their sacks upon the donkeys and return to the city. When they arrive there, they again appear before Joseph. He looks angry. "So, that is a fine thing. Is that the thanks I get for all my kindness? I've been right in not trusting you the first time. Now it comes out, you are thieves, mean thieves. Do you think that I will let that go unpunished? You can be sure that I will not," Joseph says in an angry tone. They are silent, for they dare not speak. They dare not even look at him. A moment of anxious silence prevails. Then Judah steps forward. "Oh, sir," he says softly, "what must we say? You can do with us as you wish. God is punishing us for our sins. All of us will be your slaves." But Joseph shakes his head. "No, no," he objected, "that is out of the question. You cannot help that. He only, with whom the cup was found, must remain here as my slave, but the rest of you may go to your homes." "That is good. That is nice of Joseph. Don't you also think so, children? They all could go free. Only Benjamin must remain." "And do they go?" "Indeed not. They remain standing and look at each other. Return? Without Benjamin? They dare not. Neither can they go home without Benjamin." Hadn't the brothers of Joseph changed a great deal? 20 years ago they could go home without Joseph. Yes, at that time they had even sold him. Now they dare not come within the sight of their father without Benjamin. A great change has taken place in them. Judah again begins to speak. Let us listen to what he says. "O my Lord, Will you listen to me for a moment? I hope that you will not get angry, for you are just as mighty as Pharaoh. You know that we have a very old father. Rachel, one of the wives of our father, had two children. One, the elder, is no more. Thus, this youth is the only son of Rachel. Father loves this boy a great deal, for his life is bound up in the lad's life. Therefore, he remained at home the first time. But you commanded that he must come along. When we came home from our first trip, we told our father, and he would not consent to letting him go. But our wheat, which we bought here, was used up, and we again had to come here, otherwise we would have died from starvation. Then I became surety for this youth to my father. I solemnly promised my father that I would bring him back. Now, when I come home without him, my old father will die from grief, and with sorrow we shall bury him. O my Lord, I cannot, I dare not come to my father without him. O sir, I ask you kindly, I beseech you, let me remain here in his place as a slave, but let him go free. He is silent as the tears come into his eyes. His voice falters with grief. Here, Judah is a type of the Lord Jesus, who also became surety for his elect, for his people, for all those who shall be converted by God. The Lord Jesus bore the punishment in the place of his people. The Lord Jesus was slain so that his people would live forever. O boys and girls, did he do that for you too? May you pray for that often. So you see, Judah also did that here. He would become a slave in the place of Benjamin, his brother. It is breathlessly quiet after Judah stops speaking. Everyone holds his breath. What will the viceroy answer? Will he agree? They do not know. Neither do they dare look at him. They are waiting. Suddenly the governor says to every Egyptian who happens to be in the room, every one of you must go out for a little while except these 11 men. They go, obeying immediately. When everyone has left, he shuts the door. There is no longer anyone in the room except Joseph and his brothers. Then Joseph bursts out into weeping. I am Joseph, he says haltingly. Doth my father yet live? His brothers frightened. Joseph, we sold him as a slave. Oh, Joseph will surely be angry with us. He will seek to avenge himself. They are not able to speak one word. Paralyzed with fear, they can only stare at him. Listen, Joseph speaks again. Come here, come a little nearer to me. I am Joseph. Don't you believe it? Are you afraid of me? You needn't be. I will do you no harm, for the Lord has guided it so. Do you know what is yet to happen? There will be 5 more years of famine. Now you must go home quickly. Tell my father everything and come back to live in Egypt. I can then give you as much wheat as you need. Bring all your families with you. I will give you a parcel of land where you can live. Benjamin, do you believe it? I am your brother. Come here. Benjamin comes. Joseph fell upon Benjamin's neck and kissed him, and they wept for joy. Afterward, Joseph kissed his other brothers. We read in the Bible, after that, his brethren talked with him. What did they talk about? We do not know. Did they ask him to forgive them? Neither do we know that. Pharaoh also hears that Joseph's brethren have come. He says that it is good, and that they must come and live in Egypt. He commands Joseph to give them horses and wagons to take along. Then they can go much faster, and besides, they can load these wagons with their furniture. Their wives and children can also ride in them. Pharaoh promises that he will give them the best piece of the land in Egypt. All things are made ready in a hurry. Every one of Joseph's brethren receives something from him. They each receive new raiment. But Benjamin receives 5 times as much raiment, and some money besides. He also gives them sufficient food for their journey. When everything is ready, Joseph says, "You must not quarrel on the way, but you must go quickly and fetch my father and your whole family. I will await your return impatiently." They promise to do that. Behold, there they go again on the way out of the city. They are not fearful now, but glad and cheerful. Probably you have been thinking, how did the cup get into Benjamin's sack? Did Benjamin steal it? No, the cup had been put in by Joseph himself. He wanted to see if his brothers disliked Benjamin as they had disliked him. Formerly, they had even hated Joseph. It could easily have been possible that they also hated Benjamin. But when they spoke up for Benjamin and protected him, then Joseph made himself known unto them. This has been a nice story, hasn't it? Is it this way in your home? Or do you have a brother or a sister who is always being teased by you? Surely not, I hope. But if it is so, never do it again. You may not do it. You sin by doing it. You may not live quarreling with your brothers and sisters, for the Lord will punish that sooner or later. You can be sure of that.